Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis. You might notice a second framed section with triangles in it. That is the point from which we will be beginning. In our previous shiur, we introduced this marking scheme. We are in the midst of different opinions expressing their praise or their description of the greatness of the mitzvah of bris milah, of circumcision. So we continue with this source, Tanya Rebbe Omer Gedola Milah, She'en Lecha Mi Shenis Aseik B'mitzvahs Ke'Avram Avinu. Great is the mitzvah of milah, as is illustrated by Avram Avinu. No one was as great as he in fulfillment of mitzvahs, V'lo Nikra Tomim Elo al Shem Mila, and he was not referred to as a complete whole individual until he fulfilled Mila. So that with all of the mitzvahs that he fulfilled, he wasn't referred to by this accolade of Tomim, of wholesome, of complete, until Mila. Shenemar his halech lefonai v'ye Tomim uksiv, and following that pasuk where you see Tomim featured, referring to Avram Avinu, it says Ve'etno brisi beini uveinecha. And in this pasuk, you see bris, the bris milah referred to. So the juxtaposition of phrases indicates that Tomim is achieved only with the bris milah. Dovar acher, another approach, gedola milah sheshkula keneged kol hamitzvos shebator. Great is the mitzvah of milah that it is compared to, it is as weighty as all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Shenemar ki al pi hadvorim ho'ele korati itcho bris. The Ran on the upper part of the Ran commentary, ki al pi hadvorim ho'ele korati itcho bris, klomar bris milah sheshkula kechol hadvorim dahainu kol hamitzvahs. From this pasuk, you see that the bris milah is weighted, is considered like all the other mitzvos. Dovar acher, gedola milah shel molei milah lo niskaimu shamayim v'oretz. Great is the mitzvah of milah, without which heaven and earth would not continue, wouldn't be maintained. Shenema imlo brisi yoimum v'layla chukos shamayim v'oretz lo samti. If not for the covenant of the bris milah, the laws of nature of heaven and earth would not be maintained. My hope is that we remember the similar Ma'amore Chazal that we saw in our previous shiur, that we'll say pattern these Ma'amore Chazal as well. Upliga de Rebbe Eliezer, or Rebbe Lozar, this last point is at odds with Rebbe Lozar's approach to that posuk. The Amar Rebbe Lozar, G'dayla Torah, great is the study of Torah, shel molei Torah lo niskaimu shamayim v'oretz. If not for the receipt of the Torah and its subsequent study, the heavens and earth would not be maintained. Shenemar im loy brisi yoimum v'laylu chukos shamayim v'oretz lo samti. Notice we're quoting the same pasuk, and the pasuk makes reference to the Torah. You'll ask, where do you see Torah in this pasuk? So you see in this pasuk brisi yoimum v'laylu. We see elsewhere the study of Torah is referred to as vihigisa bo yoimam v'laylo, day and night. So the concept of day and night is associated with Torah, and if not for Torah, chukos shamayim v'oretz, the laws of heaven and earth, the laws of nature, the entire creation would not be in existence. And there are other drushas throughout the Shas that focus on the centrality of Torah and Torah study. let us just mention the basic theme, and it's a core idea to Judaism. And very simply put, the entire existence would not be if not for the Torah and Torah study. So, contrary to the thinking of many, we'll call them scoffers or doubters, one should realize that the greatest contribution that can possibly be made to mankind, to the world and the universe, is the study of Torah. The study of Torah is the basis upon which all of what we know to exist can in fact exist. So that if one is, let us say, looking to find what contribution can he or she make for the benefit of mankind, the single greatest contribution would be the study and support of Torah study, and of course the fulfillment of that which one learns. Learning Torah without the fulfillment of its teachings is something that we look on very, very disparagingly. So let it be said that Rebbe Lozer's drasha highlights this point, that the core of universal maintenance is the study of Torah. We continue in the Gemara. On the side we have a topic heading, Ne'emar l'Avrom hisalech lefonai ve'etomim. It was said to Avram Avinu that you shall walk in front of me and walk in my ways and be complete and wholesome. The Gemara Amar of Yudah, Amar Rav, B'shal Shomar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avrom Avinu. When the Almighty said to Avram Avinu, hisalech lefonai ve'etomim, walk in front of me and be wholesome. So just imagine someone saying to you, I want you to be wholesome. So Achzos Sirada, he was overcome with fear. Omar Avram said, Shemo Yeshbi Dover Meguna, maybe there's some negative feature to me, something reprehensible, that until now the Almighty didn't say be wholesome, and now all of a sudden he's saying, I want you to be wholesome. Well, Kevon Shomar Lo Ve'etno Abrisi Beini Uveinecho Niskara Daito. When the Pasuk was followed by this statement, that I will give you my covenant that will be between me and you, Niskara Daito, he was assuaged, he was quiet, he was relieved. Vayotse Oisoi Hachutza. And we continue with the psukim that deal with Avram Avinu. Here from Bereishis Perek Tezvov, the pasuk says, and the Almighty took him, Avram Avinu, outside. Omar Lefonov. Avram says, Ribbono Shelom, istakalti b'mazel sheli, I noticed my mazel. Mazel is a term that it's hard to translate, but it has to do with my horoscope, the star under which I was born. And he said, "V'ein li ben acher elu Yishmael." And he says, I don't see in terms of my mazal that I will have any children other than Yishmael. Omar lo, so the Almighty says, "Say mitzdagninus shelcha." This is the pasuk that we refer to by Yotze Otso Achutza. The Almighty is saying, leave your itzdagninus, your we'll say preoccupation, or your conclusions based on itzdagninus, based on the study of the stars. Ein mazel liYisrael. The Jewish people are not governed by that force. Traditional Judaism, the Judaism that you see reflected in the Talmud, definitely acknowledges the phenomenon of star movements and star positionings, and the whole realm that in English we might translate as horoscope, as a reality. Now, we're not saying for one second that the column that appears in your daily newspaper or on some internet site that features horoscopes has any validity, but the concept of say forces that the Almighty created, that he created as part of nature, just like the sun rises and the moon has a lunar cycle, there is also a realm called Mazolus. How they're to be understood and interpreted and explained, that's way beyond the realm of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, and it's one would even question whether or not we still have that that true knowledge to this day. Certainly, and I emphasize again, it's not that which you see in popular newspaper columns or radio programs or what have you. But nevertheless, the Almighty is telling Avraham Avinu that though there is a force that I, the Almighty, created called Mazolus, you, Avraham Avinu, as being the forebearer of the Jewish people, are not subject to its determinations. And therefore, though according to the stars, it would appear that you're going to have as a son only Yishmael, that is not going to be your reality. In fact, he had another son, Yitzchak. Omar Rebbe Yitzchak. And appropriately enough, you see Rebbe Yitzchak appearing as the next comment. We have a new marking. This double underline scheme is used to highlight the expression Kol HaMetamim Atzmo, someone who makes himself tamim. Tamim is it's a word that I find a little difficult to translate. We use the term wholesome, but it has to do with someone who puts his entire faith in the Almighty. You might want to use an analogy. Someone who is not a licensed pilot. Someone who has no knowledge of aviation. He boards an aircraft in hopes of reaching his destination safely, totally relying on the pilot. So lahavdil, the Jew who goes through life doing what he is supposed to do, putting his full trust that there will be an outcome that is ultimately beneficial to him in his reliance upon the Almighty, that would be mitamim, someone who is tomim. And that's in contrast to certain other practices, behavior patterns that we'll see in the Gemara. So, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol ha-mitamim atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitamim imo. He who behaves thusly to the Almighty, so the Almighty acts in a wholesome fashion in return. Shenemar im chosid titchasod im gibor tomim titamom. With the strong wholesome individual, the Almighty is likewise wholesome, and everything that entails. Omar Rav Hoshaya, kol mitamim atzmo shah oimedes lo. Person who goes through life in a tamim fashion, now literally shah oimedes lo means with the clock with the hour stands for him, stands in his good stead. The Meforshim explain this as he will reach a point where he will achieve greatness. That's called the Shilbi Oyle Ligadula. That you can see in the Ran commentary. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Hisalech Lifonai V'yei Tomim, follow in front of me and be wholesome. Uksiv Voyiso La'av Hamon Goyim. And in that context, it says, and you, Avraham Avinu, will be the father of many nations, indicating rising to Gedula. It's also, at this point, just ponder over Avraham Avinu, who came as a upon the Almighty's behest, left his entire milieu, entered a land that was unknown to him, and according to, let's say, the simple the laws of society, the man was subjecting himself to total loss, and yet you see that he rose to the greatest heights that man could achieve by being tumim, by following the Almighty in a wholesome fashion. Omar Rebbe, kol hamenachesh loy nachash. We look at Rashi on the upper part of the Rashi commentary. Kol hamenachesh klomar sheroidef acharei amenachashim. Menachashim brings us into the realm of soothsayers, charmers, and everything that implies. So people who lead a life like that, who pursue the menachashim, so lo nachash, Rashi says, acharov roifim nichushim. He will be subject to the powers of those forces, the forces of black magic and charms and the like. They're called the kapid kapti badei. The understanding is that he who is mindful of them will be subject to their influence. As we said before, regarding mazolos, horoscope, and the like, the Torah definitely recognizes another phenomenon that's part of the Almighty's creation. Nothing exists independent of the Almighty. That is a cardinal principle that Judaism brings to the fore. Nothing exists independent of him, but he, the Almighty, created forces that Western man might be very skeptical of, but the Torah speaks about it time and time again. The whole realm of kishuf, of mechashefa, there's a death penalty for people who practice kishuf, black magic. What exactly it is, I don't claim that we have it to this very day. Maybe yes, maybe no. But whatever it is, whatever it was, is something that would subject the person to a death penalty. And let me assure you that if it was pure nonsense and silly superstition, it would be hard to imagine why the Torah would impose a death penalty for someone who practices it. So when we see many instances in the Gemara, many references to these practices, I think in English we might relegate it to the realm of the occult. Here too we're dealing with that realm, and people who pursue these things, who are, and this is what I was referring to before when we were describing tamim, this is, we'll call, the opposite or the alternative to being tamim. Someone who is not trustworthy of the Almighty in the fullest sense, but rather resorts to these other things. In English, we might refer to them also as the whole realm of superstitions. So people who assign importance to them, they can in fact be subject to the powers that they possess. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ki loy nachash biyankiv. The Gemara asks, well, this pasuk says the opposite, v'ha b'lamed aleph ksiv. The lamed aleph means the negation. There is no nachash in yankiv. So why do you say that one who pursues nichushim is subject to it, when the simple reading of the pasuk would indicate that it's not so? So elo mishum mida keneged mida. Rather, it's because the idea of people who pursue nichush are then subject to its powers is because of the concept of measure for measure. Toni Avo Brei the Rebbe Zera. Avo was a name that the Rebbe Zera gave to his son. Avo means love. So Rebbe Zera called his son Avo, and Avo teaches Kol Adam She'eno Menachesh, any person who does not practice nichush, superstitions and soothsaying, Machnisin oisei b'mechitza shafilu malachi hashores ein yichol nikonis b'secha. He is brought into the region, the inner sanctum, into which even the service angels are not able to enter. Shenemar ki lo nachash b'yanka v'lo kesem b'Yisrael. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Koes ye omer liyankiv uliyisrael ma paal kale." That the pasuk is describing that the angels will ask of Yisrael, what are the workings of Hashem? In other words, they don't know something that the people who are lo nachash b'yankiv do know. People who, as we say, avoid all these alternative lifestyles and practices that we find reprehensible. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Elazar, mitnei ma'aneh nash Avram Avinu v'nishtabdu bonov l'mitzrayim osayim v'eser shonim. Why were the Jews subjugated to 210 years of intense slave labor in Egypt, which in effect is a punishment to Avram Avinu, that his descendants should be subjected to such extreme hardships? Now, we have a diamond scheme. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note combined. These diamonds are sibois, are explanations. Shenenash Avram Avinu v'nishtabdu bonov l'mitzrayim 210 years. Why was that? So, number one, mitnei she'osa angaria b'talmidei chachomim. Shenemar vayorek es chanichov yilidei beisoi. The term angaria has to do with a workforce. He took Talmidei Chachomim and used them as a military force in the battles that Avram Avinu was involved with. The pasuk that's used to prove this is Vayorek es Chanichov. Chanichov are those that that learned from him, and he cleared them away from their Torah learning. Ushmul Amar Mepnei Shehifriz Al Midoisov Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, in explaining this, says Shehifriz Al Midoisov Shehigdi Lisha Al Midoisov Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He went too far in questioning or in asking concerning the plans and the schemes of the Almighty. Shenemar, the pasuk is, as the Gemara goes on to say, Bamei Eida Ki Yerusheno. The Almighty had told Avram Avinu that you will inherit the land, and he asked, well, how will I know that? There was an element of, we'll say, of doubt or skepticism that seems to be reflected in this pasuk. Personally, I am very leery, very hesitant to making definitive remarks, even in translating Gemaras like this. We're dealing with the Avos, we're dealing with people that were on an extremely high spiritual level, very, very close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, very close to the Almighty. It's very difficult to present these things using standards and terms that would reduce them to something sort of a common nature, something that we would feel familiar with. But we're trying our best, trying to exercise the maximum respect due to the Avos, these very, very great people, the founders of our entire Yadus, the Jewish experience. So he went too far in asking the Almighty, after the Almighty expresses his plans. He says, well, can you prove it to me, or Can you? How will I know this? Can you demonstrate it to me? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Shehifrish b'nei Adam milikones tachas kanfei Ashchina. He prevented people from entering under the literally the wings of the divine presence. This concept of tachas kanfei Ashchina might be associated with people that leave idolatry and enter monotheism. And where do we see that Avraham Avinu, who was actually very famous for doing just the opposite, for educating the masses to the recognition of Hashem, where do we see he failed in that area? Shenemar, tein li hanefesh v'ruchush kach loch. This is with regard to the Melech Stom, the king of Stom, after the war of the four kings and the five kings. So the Melech Stom was an idolatrous king, said to Avram, you give me the people and I want the people and you can keep the booty. And Avram gave him back the people. Had Avram kept the released captives from that war for himself, so he would have educated them in monotheism and bringing them tachas kanfei Ashchina. So that entire group of people lost out because of Avraham Avinu's capitulation to the demands of the Melech Sodom, of the king of Sodom. Vayorek es chanichov yelidei beisai. We saw this pasuk quoted before, and here we have another. We have more drushes on this. Rav Omar Shehrikon b'Torah. This version is actually would appear to be contrary to the approach that we took above. And the Ran quotes two approaches, and the two approaches are essentially dependent on the version, the girsa of the Gemara. So we look together at the Ran, in the lower part of the Ran commentary, Shehrikon b'Torah, Zirzon b'Torah. He strengthened their Torah. He made them diligent in Torah. Loshen Acher, another version is Shehrikon, Hirikon min ha-Torah. He cleared them out from Torah. Loshen Abor Reik, the Reik v'Hirikon was to clear something, empty something out. Shehosem ben Mangaria, this is the same drosh as we saw before. He removed them from their Torah study in order to join in his military pursuits. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel, in looking at this pasuk, Vayorak es chanichov yelidei beisoi, he says, Omar shorikon bazov, students of his, those people that were born in his general household, horikon bazov means he gave them gold. He gave them a lot of gold, and then sent them. Rashi says kedesh yelechu, and then sent them away. But the word vayorek in the pasuk is associated with gold, as we see gold described as yirakrak charutz, and the same root of the word horikon yirakrak. The Reish Kuf root indicates gold. The pasuk says, we're going to read just a few of the introductory words that we've included between the lines. Vayorek es chanichov yelidei beisoi shmoino osor ushloish meos. The number in this pasuk is a reference to 318. We're using a new marking scheme, the trapezoid or volcano shape, are Memros Shel Reb Ami Bar Abba. We'll see a number of Memros of his. The Gemara, the text emendations note from time to time, the name Romi that will appear is changed to Rebbe Ami Bar Abba. So we have a list of a series of drushes of his. So in this, regarding this pasuk of Shmoina of 318, Om Reb Ami Bar Abba, Eliezer Keneged Kulam, the number of people that Avraham Avinu had had amassed for his military effort is referred to as 318 in number. And as we saw before, possibly those were the number of people that he removed from Torah study in order to, as we said, Osan Garya. So Rav Ami says, Eliezer Keneged Kulam, the servant, the famous servant of Avram, Eliezer Eved Avram, he was equal to all of them. Iko Diamri, another version of what he's saying here is Eliezer, who the Chush B'nei Hachi Havei. When the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu took 318, it doesn't mean that he took 318 men. It means he took Eliezer, whose letter, numerical value, Eliezer, equals 318. The Aleph is 1, the Lamed is 30, the Yud is 10, Ayin is 70, Zion is 7, and the Resh is 200. If you add up the numbers, you come out with 318. The Yomer Rav Ami Bar Abba Ben Shloshonim Hoch Ikir Avram Ezboro, at 3 years of age, a mere toddler, the Avram Avinu recognized on his own, recognized the existence of the Almighty. Shenemar Ekev Asher Shoma Avram B'Koyli. Chushbene, the numerical value of Ekev, the Ayin is 70, Kuf is 100, that's, and the Beis is 2, 172, is the Chushbene, the calculation, numerical value of that word, Mea V'Shivin Utrain. So the Pasuk is saying that Avram Avinu recognized the Almighty for 172 years. He lived to be 175. So from age 3 onwards, he recognized the Almighty. There's a very powerful statement in this seemingly innocent-looking drasha, and that is that at age 3, say even a 3-year-old is able to perceive the presence of the Creator. The Pasuk says, "Hashamayim misaprim kavoy keil umaisa yodav magid orakia." The heavens, and the universe, it screams Creator, screams the presence of the Almighty, and it's, I dare say, it's so obvious that there is a Creator, there is someone who is maintaining the world, the symmetry and the systematic phenomena that exist in life, in the world, bespeak a master designer. Of course, the level of recognition, the intensity, the detailed level of recognition will differ from a 3-year-old to a 48-year-old to a 99-year-old, etc. But what the Chazal are relating here is that to deny a creator and a master of the universe is essentially equating such an individual with someone with the intelligence of less than a 3-year-old. And if you want to say that, well, Avram Avinu was extraordinarily bright, fine. So we can say for the rank and file, at age 6 or 7, you certainly should be able to recognize that there is a systematic, designed existence. And to think otherwise is the heights of idiocy, for lack of better expression. Anyone who thinks that even the simplest realm of creation, a single cell creature could have happened by some kind of random accident, is acknowledging the possibility of spilling a bottle of ink and thereby a perfectly formed equilateral triangle would result. And just as that would be viewed as a virtual impossibility, spilling a bottle of ink, you can spill 10 billion bottles of ink to the 10 billionth power over 5 trillion years, under all kinds of different wind conditions and ink qualities and paper qualities, and you will not have a result of the pouring of that ink onto a splashing onto a piece of paper a perfectly formed equilateral triangle. And let me assure you that that an equilateral triangle is a infinitely simpler phenomenon or entity than anything that you'll find as part of the natural world. And if you need the assistance of an electron microscope in order to appreciate that, then by all means, seek one out at your next opportunity. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rabbi Ami bar Avo. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hasotan, the word itself is a reference to the, we'll call the prosecuting angel. The numerical value of that word, b'chushbenei, is tlas mea v'shisin v'arba'o, is 364. Now, it appears that this is a rather abbreviated drusha. We see this drusha elsewhere in the Shas, and the Ran is kind enough to reveal what the point of this drush is. Just simply to count up the numerical value of Hasatan, you don't need the Gemara to tell you that. So the Ran at the top line says, Hasatan b'chushmei tlasmei v'shisen abahavu, v'maisachamo shin samachei, and the solar year is 365. Okay, 365 and a quarter, but it's basically 365. Imkein, iko chag yom adeles le'vishuso le'mistan, the point of this drasha is that the difference between the numerical value of Hasatan, 364, and the number of days in a year, 365, that shows there's a one-day discrepancy. And on one day of the year, that is Yom Kippur, the Satan, this prosecuting angel, has no right to intervene and offer prosecution against the Jewish people. V'yomar Rabbi Ami bar Abba, k'siv Avram u'k'siv Avroham. Originally, he was known as Avram without a hay. Later, the hay was added to his name. B'tchila himlicho HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mosayim v'arboim u'shloisho Evorim. At the beginning, throughout a certain amount of his life, he was in charge, in control of 243 of the 248 limbs in a person. Ulebesof, and later after he was circumcised, the Almighty gave him control over an additional 5 limbs. The 2 eyes, the 2 ears, and the male organ. We'll look into this a little bit further by looking into the Ran commentary. But before we do so, let's just finish the Maimer Chazal on this point. Eluhain, what are the 2 additional, the 5 additional limbs? Shtei Einayim, Shtei Oznayim, 2 eyes, 2 ears. The eyes, a person cannot control that which he sees. A person might see something negative all of a sudden without planning. Might see something that would lead to, wrongful thoughts or immorality. And the ears hear things that a person doesn't plan to hear. He might hear lashon hara, evil speech. The rosh hagvia, the male organ. We look in the Ran commentary, Shtei Einayim Shtei Ozayim, 3 lines from the top. Shebitchila Mlicha Kodesh Baruch Hu Alevorov. Initially, the Almighty gave Avram Avinu control over his limbs. Shein Birshusa Lizoy Me'avera. For example, legs, arms, a person has control over his arms. Does he can decide whether he's going to strike an individual or not. Legs, a person can determine, is in control of whether he'll walk to a location that he should not be at. When it comes to eyes and ears, they're not in his control. Person can see things that he didn't intend to see, and likewise hear things he didn't intend to hear. And afterwards, after he was circumcised, he was then given, I don't know if the right word is control, or the Almighty will say took over prevented him or enabled, did not present circumstances to Avram that he would be subjected to seeing things or hearing things that he shouldn't. So that as a reward for having lived the life that he did, and also mauling himself, and also circumcising himself, this was the reward that he was granted. And you could see this further in the Rosh commentary, on the second wide line, in the middle of that line, he says, "Umirob sidkoso mosram biyodo," and because of the great righteousness of Avram, these limbs were given to him. Kidichtiv ragli chasid of Yishmor kishodo mizgabe al Yitzrael sofakosh brochu mosro biyodo. If a person is successful in warring against his natural, we call evil inclination, might call it the natural inclination, but a person suppresses it and subdues it, which is, of course, and we mentioned in our previous year, we elaborated on this topic quite a bit, that the Almighty created a world with natural tendencies, and it's the job of people, and especially the Jew, to overcome the natural tendencies. Person who is successful over the years in doing so, so far Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe Biyado, in the end, the Kodesh Baruch Hu enables him to live without having to wage that war, because he literally gives them over into his hands. A person like that is then not subjected to those tests, those life tests that are in fact very, very challenging. We continue in the Gemara. The Omar Rabbi Ami Bar Abba, Mai Dichtiv Ir Ktano Vanoshim V'chulei. At this point, the Gemara is going to be analyzing a posuk in Sefer Koheles, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Perek Tes, posuk Yud Dalid. And as far as the marking scheme is concerned, we've double underlined the quotes from the posuk, posuk Yud Dalid and posuk Tes Vav. What is meant by the psukim there? If maybe just to get a flavor of it, even though you can see it in textually, let's read the words of the psukim just by focusing on the double underline. Ir ktana v'anoshim bo ma'at. It was a small city with a small population. Boyle melech gadol v'sibei v'yisa, and a great king came and surrounded it. Uvano leh mitzudim v'charamim, and he built towers and means of attacking the small village. And there was a poor but wise man in the village, and he enabled the city to escape through his wisdom. And afterwards, no one remembered that poor man. What is this all a reference to? So the Gemara explains. Ir Katana, the small city, Zehaguf, that's the person's body. Vanoshim Bomaat, Elu Evorim, those are the few people, is a reference to the limbs of an individual. Ubo, Elo Melech, Golo, Vasibe Vosa, Ze Yetzahorav, that's a reference to the posuk that speaks about the great king surrounding it. That's a reference to the evil inclination. which we said before might not be just described as evil, but were the natural inclination. You know, there are people, as we mentioned in our previous year, there are people that that claim that they have natural tendencies that might not be the majority, the tendencies of the majority of people, but they claim that they have these natural tendencies that many would consider an aberration. But based on the fact that they feel that they are natural, they justify their distorted lifestyle. So that is the natural tendency, the bestial tendency of man. That's we can call the Yetzer Hara. Again, some will translate the evil inclination. And this mighty king builds the fortresses and attack towers. Those are sins. This is the beginning of Pasuk Tes Vav. And there was a poor wise man in this community. Ze Yetzer Tov. That's the positive inclination, the ability that one has to overcome his natural tendencies. Umilat hu esu'ir b'chokhmasa zu'tshuvu ma'isim toivim. The milat is to have the city saved through his wisdom. That's a reference to to tshuva, to penitence, and ma'isim toivim, and good deeds. That's the, we'll call it the response to the Yetzer Hara and his sins. The Adam lo zocher su'ish amiskenahu, the bishas Yetzer Hara less the midkar lay the Yetzer Tov. When the Yetzer Hara, when the evil inclination is having a field day with the person, there is no one that remembers the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Tov is ineffective at that particular moment, and that's why I think that in reference to the pasuk three lines above, reference was made to tshuva. That's penitence. That's repentance after the sins. Because during the time of sinning, unfortunately, the Yetzer HaTov is rendered ineffective. Is dormant. Impotent at that point. So it's after the sin, then our hope is that people will do tshuva, will repent, and do ma'isim toivim. There is no concept of a person who can claim to be sin free. So we're describing a situation that applies to every person. Ein tzadik baratz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechtol. You can't find a righteous person who does good that does not also sin. But recognizing that, we also recognize the power of tshuva and accumulating, amassing merit through ma'isim toivim. And this pasuk, also from Keheles, is explained. That means wisdom strengthens the wise man. That's the practice of penitence and good deeds. The Ran explains, Me'asor shalitim shaltim ba'odom shiroiv ma'is odom ne'asim al yedehem. The 10 rulers that rule over man, meaning that most of man's actions are done through them. So that chokhmah strengthens the wise man. Tshuvan ma'isim toivim are more effective or can overcome the 10 rulers. And what are the 10 rulers of a person? Eluhain. These are the list. The Shteinayim, two eyes. Shtei Oznayim, two ears. Shtei Yodayim, two arms. Shtei Raglayim, two legs, v'rosh hagviya, and the male organ, upeh, and the mouth. Omar Rabbi Zecharia, Mishum Rabbi Yishmoel, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahotzi Kuna Mishem. The Almighty's original intent was that the priesthood should come forth from Shem. Shem is the son, one of the three sons of Noach. Shenamar, the Pasuk describes Shem as Vehu Kohen L'Kel Elyon. He is the priest that serves the Almighty God. However, Kevon Shehiktim Birchas Avrom L'Birchas HaMokom Hotzio Me'Avrom. In Shem's encounter with Avram, he blessed Avram before he blessed the Almighty. Shenemar vayevarcheu vayomer baruch Avram l'keil elyon kine shemayim v'aretz u'baruch keil elyon. So if you notice the order of the references in this pasuk, you see first the brocha that he uttered to Avram, and then the bracha, subsequent bracha to the Almighty. That's a poor choice of ordering whom you are blessing. And for that, Shem lost the title to priesthood, with regard to his descendants. Omar loy Avram. Avram said to Shem, V'chi makdimin birchas eved lebirchas kono. Does one give priority to the servant in blessing the servant before blessing the master? Of course not. Miad nosno l'Avram. At that point, the kahuna was given to Avram. Shenemar Neum Hashem Ladoni Shev Limini Adoshis Oivecho Hadom L'Raglecho Ubasrei Ksiv. Following the pasuk we just quoted, it says Nishba Hashem V'lo Yinochem Ato Kohen L'Olam Al Divrosi Malki Tzedek. Now, without translating the psukim in a literal form, the pasuk Aleph, the Rosh explains Neum Hashem LaAdoni, Adoni Hu Avram Avinu. The Rosh says Shekar Rishon LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adoni. So that in the Pasuk Aleph that's quoted here is a reference to Hashem speaking to Avram Avinu, and then in Pasuk Dalet you see that Hashem declares Ata Kohen LeOlam. You are the Kohen. You are the priest. And in darshaning this pasuk, in the pasuk it said al divrosi malki tzedek, Gemara says al diburo shel malki tzedek. As a result of the speech, the poor prioritization that malki tzedek had followed, v'hainu dichtiv, and it's with this we understand another pasuk which describes malki tzedek. It says, and we saw this quoted above, the who Kohen L'Kel Elyon, and he, but he has implies a limitation. Who Kohen V'Ein Zaro Kohen, meaning Malki Tzedek himself was the priest of the Almighty, he who was dedicated to the service of the Almighty, as the term priest or Kohen implies, but there's the limitation of he and not his descendants. V'ein Zaro Kohen. The phenomenon of someone being considered the Kohen with his descendants meriting that is something that was given to Avram Avinu. And as you can see, with that we've come to the end of the third perek of Nedarim, and now that leads us into the new perek. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads Hevdel Vein Mudar Hano Lemudar Michael. We're going to make reference to someone who declares through a vow that he is not going to give Hano benefit to his friend, versus someone who vows not to give Michael benefit to his friend. The word Michael, I hesitate translating because that could limit our understanding of things, but you can see that the root of the word Michael has to do with food. The Mishnah. Ein bein hamudor hano mechavero lumudor heimenu Michael. There's no difference between someone who wants to prevent his friend from receiving hano'o, pleasure benefit, versus someone who prevents through a vow food benefit. Ela drisas haregel v'kelim she'ein oisim b'hem oichol nefesh. Drisas haregel can be understood as easement rights. It's the idea of traversing or of walking through someone's property to get from one side to the other side, so one cuts through someone's property. That's drisas haregel. Now the Tosfos points out ein bein amudor hanoa elo drisas haregel. He says b'mokom de lo kapti inshi kagon biko b'maisachama. We're talking about easement rights in circumstances that, generally speaking, people would not mind. For example, a open field during the summertime, during the winter time, during the rainy season, so people are not to cut through other people's property because it's going to ruin the property. It's going to ruin the seeds, ruin the planted items there. But if other than that, if you're dealing with a someone's courtyard, for example, or a non-arable area, the idea of cutting through someone's property, a shortcut, that's what is implied by drisas haregel. The Mishnah made reference also to vessels that are not used for food preparation. So we said that these two areas would be a point of difference. Practically speaking, if someone said that they're not going to provide any hanoh benefit, so then the other party would not be allowed to even cut through to use the madir's, the vow maker's property as a shortcut, nor would he be able to use the vow maker's vessels that are not associated with food preparation. If, however, the vow was simply mimaychol, so then even though B cannot benefit from A, Michael, he still, B would be able to cut through A's property, and B would be able to borrow vessels that are not food related. Hamudor Michael mechavero lo yashilenu, someone who prevents his friend from benefiting in Michael terms, so he should not loan to him. Napo, Kvora, Verechayim, V'tanor. Napo and four are different types of sifting devices, a sifter, a sieve, grindstone, nor a tanor. These are clearly food preparation vessels. Avol mashilo choluk v'tabas talis v'nizomim. However, he would be able to loan to him an article of clothing, a choluk, a tabas, a ring, talis, another type of garment, nizomim, another form of jewelry, nose ring, possibly. Those are not food related. The Gemara asks a question that we also use as our topic heading. The Nose, Mantano, that we've written on this side, paraphrasing the Gemara, Mantana de Drisus Regel Nechshev Hano, Bemudur Hano. Who is the Tana that says that something as minor as Drisus Regel is nevertheless to be considered a form of pleasure? And if we consider it a form of pleasure, so that when there is a neder is made that prevents hanoah, this would be included. So who is it, Tanaically that views drisus haregel as a form of hano, a form of pleasure. Man, now the Gemara text, man Tana, who is the Tana that holds thusly, Omar Ravado Baravo, Rebbe Eliezer he. It is Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer, who says that even very minor benefits are called hano. So here we're dealing with the fine line between translation and establishing halachic categories. So we're trying to establish what, halachically speaking, is termed as hano. Well, should be more specifically, who is the Tana, and we're saying it is Rebbe Eliezer that holds that even very minor types of benefit will fall into the halachic category of hano. The Desanya, the Gemara says, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, afilu vitur oser b'mudur hano. Vitur is the following. Person goes to a fruit shop where the fruit is sold by weight. So on a balance scale, if a person, let's say, orders a kilogram of dates, so a weight stone might be placed on one side of a balance scale that is officially 1 kilogram. On the other side of the balance scale, you would load it up with a kilo of dates. The balance scale would be equal, and many vendors will throw on the top another 1 or 2 dates, giving the customer a little extra. That little extra, that 1 or 2 extra dates, is called vitur. Literally, vitur is a person who surrenders of himself or gives up of his own to the benefit of someone else. So this vendor, the store owner, is giving up 1 or 2 extra little fruits. In the case of mudur hano, if you had a vendor that said, "I don't want people to benefit from me. I don't want so and so to get any hano'a from me." So, in selling the fruits, he would not be allowed to. The customer would not be allowed to receive that little extra that's thrown onto the top. And hence, you can see that Rabbi Eliezer is concerned with very minor forms of benefit as being categorized as hano'a. Hamudur Meichel Mechavero Lo Yashilenu. In the Mishnah, we saw that if a person prevents or forswears benefiting someone else, Meichel, a list of vessels was mentioned in the Mishnah that he cannot loan to the Mudar. The Gemara asks the obvious question at the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, V'ha Min Meichel Nodar. The vow was that he's not going to give food to the other party. Why can he not loan to him a sifter? The sifter is not edible. You don't eat that. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Loma v'muder mimenu maichol osulashilo kelim kenapo kevora hanilo maichol heim. Why in such a case, as we said, can a person, why is a person restricted from loaning the other party these vessels when the vow was simply a food restrictive vow? The Gemara answers on number one, Amar of Shimon ben Lokish, Biyomer Hanoas Ma'acholcho Olai. The text of the vow was that, and the benefit of your food is upon me. And now, that text would then include, let's say, more than strict food. That's the thinking right now. The Gemara asks, Amar, who is to say that Hanos Ma'achol Chalai includes vessels? Maybe it's Shelo Yilois Chitin V'yitein Al Makosoi. That what's being prohibited is the chewing of wheat kernels that are then placed as a something with a therapeutic value on someone's injury. There's a given over here. You see this also in Gemara and Pesachim Lamed Tesum and Beis, as well as Ksubas Dav Kuf Gimel, that chewed wheat is therapeutic. So maybe the vow here of Hanoas Ma'achol Chalai is again a reference to something that is essentially a food substance, as this example indicates. But it doesn't include vessels. Omar Rava. So Rava upgrades the understanding of the text. Bi'oimer Hanoa Hamavio Lidei Ma'achol Chalai. The vower is prohibiting his friend from benefiting from that which brings food to be eaten. What enables foodstuffs to be eaten? For example, a pot in which you cook up the food. So, thanks to the pot, you can now eat the food. So that's Hano Hamavio Lidei Ma'achol Chalai. Omar Rav Papa, Sak Lavi Peros, a sack for the transport of fruits. V'chamor Lavi Olav Peros, a donkey used for transporting fruits. V'afilu Tzona Bi'almo, and even a basket in general, is Hano Hamavio Lidei Ma'achol Hu. All of these vessels are also considered within that realm. The point here is even vessels that are a little further removed from the actual food preparation. The sack to carry, let us say, the sack that's used to carry grains to the person's home. At that point, the grains are still grain. They're not edible. You still have to grind them and sift them and what have you. But nevertheless, even though they're somewhat, the food items are transported or coming into contact with these kind of vessels are still somewhat far from ability to be consumed, they're nevertheless part of this category of Hano Hamavio Lidei Ma'achol Cha. Boy Rav Popa. Rav Popa asks regarding additional items. Rav Popa just finished his list of three items that are considered prohibited in a vow of Hano Amavil de Maichol. What about the following? Sus Lirkoiv Olav. Can I borrow from this Madir a horse upon which I can ride to a wedding? Tabas Lirospo Mahu. What about a ring that when worn, so I will look more impressive? Mifsaku Mezu Ba'are Mai. What about cutting through his property as a shortcut? I'll get to a destination faster. I'll get to the wedding faster where there is food. So what is the status of these items when it comes to Mudar Maichel? The Ran added in the case of the Tabas Lirospo, when a person, let's say, enters a wedding and he looks more important as a result of various adornments, jewelry, so they might give him a better portion. What is then the status of these things? Toshma. Avol, in our Mishnah, we learned Avol Mashiloi Choluk Vitalis Nizomim Vitabos. In the case of Mudar Maichol, he is allowed to receive, to borrow from the Madir, from the prohibitor, these things, and included in which are Tabois, rings. Hechidomi. And here we have a triangle scheme to feature the stages in which we want to figure out what are we talking about. So, if you're talking about a ring that is not designed for, say, improving your image, a ring that's not visible, it's useful for something, but it's not something that would be seen. So, do I need the Mishnah to tell me that if he's mudar maichol, that this would be allowed to be borrowed? It has nothing to do with food. Even a ring that will improve your appearance and importance, as we explained through the Ran before, and as a result of this, you might get a better portion of food. The Kotoni Mashilo. And the Mishnah is saying that even though he's Mudar Maichel, the ring he is allowed to receive. One says, Lo, that's not to be concluded. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, Lo'olam Shelo Leros. I can tell you that the ring spoken about is not a ring that will improve his appearance. So you'll say that why then is the obvious taught? Va'aydi dikotoni reisha lo yashilenu, since the reisha featured items that a mudar maichel is not to borrow, tana seifa mashilo. In contrast, the seifa teaches things that one is allowed to borrow, but not because there's some specific chiddush in the Seifa, some specific revelation in the Seifa, but as we said, it's an acceptable, say, Mishnah style to teach contrasting points, as long as some aspect of it has chiddush value, which we saw in the Reisha, that even though they're not actual food, but they're food-related items, they are forbidden. And just to repeat, and in contrast, something like a ring that one uses that's not for adornment purposes, though it's obvious that it should be allowed, the Mishnah nevertheless teaches it anyway as contrast. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.